time to just get together in small groups and hash things over. And I thank you for all the ladies here tonight. And I pray that you would just use me right now, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me. I pray that you'd give me the words to say and just calm me, calm my nerves a little bit here, Lord, and just help me to be able to speak what you want me to say. We thank you for Penny's testimony, Lord. Thank you for giving her just the courage to come up here and speak and share those things. And I pray right now that you'd speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to speak on the topic of quietness and how quietness... how quietness is good for the soul, I guess is what I would title it. But to start off, I was going to ask the question, how many of you have experienced stress? And I thought, well, that is a stupid question. Because we've all experienced stress. We've all experienced it from time to time. Or maybe we feel like we experience it all the time. But I thought about what exactly does the word stress mean? What does that word mean? And when I looked it up, I found that it's mental or emotional strain or tension, something that causes strong feelings of worry or anxiety, and it can include fear, fret, trouble, or worry. And so in our lives as women, there are lots of things that can cause us stress. Maybe it's financial issues, maybe it's bills that you have or other financial worries. Maybe it's a sickness or physical problems that cause you stress. Maybe it's the worries, all the worries that come with parenting. Maybe it's just the hurrying that you feel in your life of having so much to do and so much on your plate. That can cause a lot of stress. Maybe it's just trying to keep up with everything. Maybe it's the things you hear on the news or on social media, and the list could go on and on of things that stress us out. We all experience stressful things, and God cares about that. And we know that verse in Matthew where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And I love the wording of that last part where it says, rest for your soul. That sounds nice. Rest for your soul. So he knows that we're going to have burdens and troubles. But he desires that we have that rest in our soul. And we may always have to deal with stressful things in our lives. But no matter the circumstances, having that rest or quietness in our soul is possible. I don't want to downplay the major things that people have to deal with in their lives. I know that people have big things that they're dealing with, but I do want you to know that God cares and that he can help you to have that peace inside. There was another verse. Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So this leads us into the two verses that I want to focus on that talk about the importance of quietness in our lives. The first one's in Isaiah, and it says, "Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength." And the other one is from 1 Thessalonians. It says, "Aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands." And we're going to dig into those verses a little bit more in a little bit. But notice that both those verses talk about quiet. My mouth's drying up already. Notice that they both talk about quiet, being quiet. And I know, like, the first thing we think of when we hear the word quiet is, like, lack of noise or making very little noise or no sound is what we think of. But it really can mean a lot more than that. And I'm kind of a word nerd kind of thing, like, when I study stuff, I like to look at the words, like to look up their meanings and stuff. So I looked up the word quiet. Some definitions can be characterized by an absence or near absence of agitation or activity. It can mean not disturbed by strife or turmoil. It can mean untroubled and free from turmoil. And some synonyms for quiet are calm, gentle, easygoing, still, peaceful, and serenity, tranquility. All those words have to do with quiet. And the word for quiet in Hebrew means repose, I think I'm saying that right, which means calm, relaxed, free from anxiety, to be still, to lie down with support underneath. So when the word quiet is used in these verses, it goes a lot deeper than just meaning, like, not making a sound. It's that calm, peaceful rest that you can experience inside. And so to me, all those words and those meanings for quiet, really, I think, is what Jesus meant when he said that we can have rest to our souls. So the words for quiet, all this explanation of quiet, really is the opposite, I think, of what we feel on the inside when we're stressed. You know, it's the opposite of that turmoil or that just that upset and that anxiety. So quietness is more of the calm, peaceful, relaxed feeling on the inside. So before we get into those verses, what do you think for us women living in this day and age, what are some things that keep us from having that quiet, calm, peaceful feeling on the inside? What are some of the things that maybe cause that turmoil? I'm just going to write down a few of them. Anybody think of, I'm just going to have you yell about whatever you think of. What keeps us from feeling calm, quiet on the inside? What? Kids? Winter blues. Say it again. Come on, guys, you're not off the hook. Jealousy, fear, I made up a little list. Let's see. I put pursuing things. Is that on there? Kind of. Trying to keep up with trends and lifestyles. Unrealistic expectations. It's on there. Listening to other people's opinions. Distractions from social media. Kids. Anything else? I'm sure there's a million other things you could put. But that's a good list. All right, so there's lots of things that can cause stress in our lives. Lots of things. Maybe some days you feel like Miss Frazzle, and your stress comes from being frazzled by everything that you have to do, just everything that's going on, everything that's on your shoulders. Or maybe some days you feel like Miss Worrywart, and your stress comes from just worrying about everything. Maybe some days you're like Miss Doom and Gloom, and your stress comes from how bad everything seems in the world. Maybe some days you're Negative Nelly, and your stress comes from just your negative attitude towards everything that you have to do and everything you have to deal with. Maybe some days you're more like Miss Busybody, and your stress comes from concerning yourself with other people's problems and other people's business. Maybe some days you're more like Miss Busy Bee, and you're just trying to cram too much into an already busy schedule. Maybe some days you're like Miss Perfectionist, and your stress comes from just trying to keep up with everything, keep up with your looks, keep up with your home, just everything. And when we're feeling like this, that any of those, that's what causes that uneasiness within, that unrest in our souls. And of course, all of that, this stuff, all of the stuff that causes us that stress, that just leads to complaining, discontentment, jealousy, worry. It just leads to all of that stuff. And that's all just that uneasiness in our souls. So now that you're all totally stressed out, it'll get better, I promise. So let's take a look at Isaiah 30, verse 15. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. And that's another thing, along with looking up words, I really like to, when I'm doing a study, is look at lots of different versions of a verse. But this, I'm going to read the NLV version. It says, "Only in returning to me and resting in me will you be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength." And the confidence here in this verse means confidence in God. Other versions use the word trust. So yours might say, in returning and rest, you will be saved. Quietness and trust will be your strength. And in this chapter of Isaiah, they were trusting in things other than God. They were looking for help from other sources. They were relying on other things and not relying on God. They weren't turning to God for what they needed. They were looking in other places for the help that they needed. They were trusting in other things. And in this verse, God says, return to me and trust in me and have that quiet calmness in trusting in me. The CEV, I think it's Common English Version, words it this way, I will make you strong if you quietly trust me. God wants us to trust him. But maybe you struggle with that. Maybe you have a hard time trusting. And I wish that there was like just a switch. You could just switch and just automatically trust. But one thing I know that I've learned is that trusting in him comes from knowing him. And it comes from things that we've experienced in the past, ways he's been faithful in the past. And you guys probably know the verse. You're probably very familiar with Psalm 46:10 that says, be still and know that I am God. That stillness, the be still, the stillness that we can experience in our souls comes as we know him. Be still and know that I am God. So it comes as we know him more and more in a personal way. So we have to get to know him. That trust will be built as we dig into the word and get to know him that way. Or we come to Bible studies, or we pray and read and come to church. Just the more and more that we get to know him, the more that trust will be built, and that we can have that stillness inside, like it says, to be still and know that I am God. So even during challenging and stressful times, when we trust in the Lord, when we rest in him, it can bring that quietness in our souls, knowing that he loves us, knowing that he has a plan for us, and that he's in control of all things. And when our confidence is in him, we can experience a peace in our soul. There's a quote I read, I think it's by Charles Stanley, that says, every challenge presents an opportunity for God to display his faithfulness and love. Instead of yielding to thoughts of fear and failure, make a commitment to trust God. Even when you do not know what the next day will bring, train yourself to look beyond what you can see to what God sees. The other verse is in 1 Thessalonians 4:11. And in my Bible, at the beginning chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, the heading says, a life pleasing to God. So I'm just going to read that first part and see what he says about what a life pleasing to God, what he lists there. So it says, finally then, brothers, this is right at verse 1. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. And here's our verse 11. It says, and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. So this verse was part of the list of things that Paul was telling them that they either needed to do or not do to please God. And part of that list was aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business and to work with your hands. Some of the other versions were of the Bible word it this way, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, do all you can to lead a peaceful life, seek to lead a quiet life, and try your best to live quietly. So in other words, I think this verse is saying, do everything in your power to live a quiet life. And remember that quiet doesn't necessarily mean like no noise, right? It can mean to be calm, to be still, to be peaceful, to be free from turmoil or worries. If we think about this world that we live in right now, that there's so much noise and information just bombarding us all the time. From our phones, from the TV, from internet, social media, all this noise and information can distract us. It can be overwhelming. It can cause us stress. And our lives can be so busy. I think that was some of the things that we thought of. You know, our lives can be so busy and hectic that we feel stress from everything that's going on. We can feel that from all the busyness, we feel that turmoil and that unsettledness in our souls. So this verse 11 in 1 Thessalonians 4, tells us to aspire to live a quiet life, or to make it your ambition to live a quiet life. And that just seems kind of funny, like the word ambition, you wouldn't think what would come with that is a quiet life, you know, but that's what it's telling us. And it's like it's saying to us, quiet your life down. I thought it was a good way to say it. And how can we do this? How can we quiet our lives down? How can we make our lives more quiet and less hectic? And so maybe you're thinking some things in your head about how you could do that. And I just tried to think of some things. How can we quiet our lives down? And we probably just need to be more intentional about things like shutting the TV off. Don't watch the news every night, or just shut it off. Shutting off your phone, not paying attention to your phone as much, not scrolling through Facebook all the time or searching the internet all the time for things. Maybe, you know, just putting away some of the devices, putting away the media for a while. Maybe it means just looking at your full schedule. And I know some of you, like, especially that have kids right now at home and stuff, your schedules are just so busy and full. But maybe it means looking at your schedule and just praying about how to simplify. Maybe it means having more quiet time at home and not rushing off to every function that's happening and everything that's going on. If you feel like your stress is coming from a really busy life, you should pray and just figure out, what is there something that I can weed out? Is there something I can just get rid of and not do? You know, what do I need to focus on and what can I just get rid of? And stop doing, not be a part of. But that's definitely something to pray about. And I think the next part of that verse gives us a clue, too, about how to live a quiet life. because it says aspire to live a quiet life, and then it says and mind your own business, or mind your own affairs, I think some of them say. And I think sometimes our stress comes from comparing our lives to other people's lives, or being too overly concerned with other people's lives, what's going on in their lives. I think sometimes we feel like we have to keep up with everything, trends, or just what other people are doing. And when we look at other people's lives and situations, I know for me, like I could become jealous or envious or discontent with how my life is going. We can become resentful or discouraged if we're constantly looking at what other people are doing and comparing our lives to theirs. I think that a lot of stress can come from that when we look too closely at other people's lives and don't mind our own business. And my life may not look just like somebody else's life, and that's okay. And it's interesting to me that Paul puts that list in all the list of things that he discussed about how they ought to walk and please God. And so he says to make it our ambition to lead a quiet life, and quietness in our lives is so important to God. It pleases him. I'm going to try to do something. I heard a song on the radio when I was preparing for this, and the words just jumped out at me, and I'm like, this sounds like it would go right with this study. And you've probably heard this song. I'm going to try to read the words and not sing them. Oh, and maybe you'll recognize the words. And I'm going to take a drink of water. Okay. It says, no. To yourself. All right, here we go. Alarm clock screaming. Bare feet hit the floor. It's off to the races. Everybody out the door. I'm feeling like I'm falling behind. It's a crazy life. 90 miles an hour, going fast as I can, trying to push a little harder, trying to get the upper hand. So much to do in so little time. It's a crazy life. It's ready, set, go. It's another wild day. When the stress is on the rise, in my heart I feel you say, just breathe. Just breathe. Come and rest at my feet. And be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to just breathe. Third cup of Joe just to get me through the day. Want to make the most of time, but I feel it slip away. I wonder if there's something more to this crazy life. I'm busy, 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 and it's no surprise to see that I only have time for me, me, me. There's got to be something more to this crazy life. I'm hanging on tight to another wild day. When it starts to fall apart in my heart, I hear you say, just breathe, just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs, the peace of God that overcomes, just breathe. Let your weary spirit rest, lay down what's good, and find what's best, just breathe. So maybe you can relate to those words a little bit, but I just love that crazy, 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 but just rest, just breathe. I hope you can relate to that. Well, I don't hope you can relate to those words, but I hope that you can see that he wants us to just rest, to be at rest in him, and not to have such a crazy, stressful life. So along with those two verses about being quiet, I think it's important, too, that we make sure we make time in our schedules to have quiet time. And, you know, some of you might be thinking, I cannot fit one more thing into my schedule. And I think that it's kind of like what I remember learning years back about tithing and about how sometimes people have a hard time giving 10% for tithing. But I remember somebody saying one time that if you give that 10%, that God can do so much more with that 90%. And I just thought that's kind of a cool way to look at it. And it's true with this, too, that you may feel it, like you have so much packed into your day and into your schedules. But it's kind of like tithing, that if you take that time and give it to him in the morning and spend it with him in the morning, that maybe the rest of your day will go more smoothly, or maybe he can help you organize and orchestrate and things will seem less chaotic if you take that time in the morning. So I just think it's, or whenever, but I just think it's so important to make that time to be with him, that quiet time every day. And probably a lot of you already do that. You probably don't need a lot of instruction. But for me, I know, like, it's very easy when you're stumbling in the morning, when you get up and get your coffee. Like, I have a certain place I always go to, and my Bible's right there, and my journal's right there. So I think to make it a habit, make it a routine, makes it a lot easier than just trying to find time in the day. And I know for some of you, like, if you have little kids and your schedule's really busy, I know for me, back when my kids were little, I would get a little creative with this. Like, driving to work, I would pray the whole way there. That would be my quiet time. Or I would always pray in the shower because I was alone then. So sometimes you just have to get a little creative with it. But I think it's really important to make that time, that quiet time with the Lord every day. So about having a quiet time, Chuck Swindoll says, "That still small voice will never shout. God's methods don't change because we are so noisy and so busy. He is longing for your attention, your undivided and full attention." So when we're feeling stressed out because of the demands of our life or because of too much information coming at us or whatever the reason, it's even more important to make that time for our quiet time with the Lord. So God desires this quietness in our lives, and it comes about in a couple of ways. Quietness will come to our souls when we trust him. In other words, the result of trusting will be that calmness in our soul. But also, as we choose to do things to quiet our lives down, we will experience more of that calm and peace in our hearts and our souls. I have one more quote that I'll close with. This one's by Jill, from Jill Briscoe. She says, "Quietness is soul therapy. Staying in the quiet of God's presence brings tranquility back to a frantic spirit." So, let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that we can learn more and more from your word. And I just pray, Lord, that the things that we focused on tonight about quietness in our souls, that the ladies would leave here thinking more about that and more about how you would desire for us to have that quietness within. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.